commercial calls.
I was taking my heavy sweater, no.
I put it up, it's up. Lord, when this Anna and them speak, Lord have mercy. Boom. So now it's gonna get better. It's gonna get better. My fault. Thank you. You know, I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 7. You know, even when the Lord is working and moving in people's lives, even in your life, sometimes it's hard to give up the things of the past. You know, just, you know, it's hard. And you know, sometimes you just kind of, maybe because you've done a lot of work to do something, or you put a lot of time and energy into a place or a ministry or something like that. But I tell you what, this morning when I walked in, because you know, I have to be honest. It's, you know, you're looking at all this that's going, it kind of hurts my heart at first. Because you put so much time and energy in, you know, you just, Lord help. But I have to say this morning, during storm service, like it broke. And I said, thank you, Lord. You got to give up the past, because God knows what's in the future. Okay? You got to give up the past of all the things, because God knows the best thing for the future and what will happen and what's going to happen. And the Spirit of the Lord was so awesome this morning, people. Yes, ma'am. Just the Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord, amen, you know, God just looks at all things. But, you know, just having the Spirit of the Lord in a place is so precious. And I just felt the Spirit of the Lord just saying, revival's coming. Revival's coming. I mean, it is, we're on the verge of it splitting open. You might say, well, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen will astound every one of us with people, with things that are going to work and do, and what's going to happen in this small town, in this area, how God is going to break it open, and it will be a testimony to people out there saying, how are y'all doing it there in that church? When you have basically, if you want to say nothing, but you know, but we have the Spirit of God, and I tell you what, keep praying, keep believing, keep seeking God, and I'm telling you, revival's here, it's coming. It's going to break through. Because, you know, you're hearing people saying how God is just stirring their spirits. I mean, you know, every Sunday, I'll be honest with you, every Sunday I'm going doing stuff after church, and people will come up to me and say, this is what the Lord showed me. This is what the Lord spoke to me during service. And it's just revival, people. It's revival. Reviving the church to conquer the world. Reviving the church by His Spirit. Looking to Him so that we can go and give out that word, give out that song, give out in psalmist song, give out the things of the Lord. Because you see, the world is dying out there. They're not knowing what to do. They're dying on the inside. They've looked to money. They've looked to all evils of this world for satisfaction. And it has not satisfied anything. Because the only thing that can satisfy the heart of man is God, the one that made the heart of man. And He's left that piece of the puzzle there so that He is the only one that can come in and take that point. And let me tell you, keep on praying. Keep on believing. You know, I had somebody tell me, you know, last Sunday or maybe the Sunday before, you know, man, I just feel God's going to fill this place with people. I said, I know it's coming. I know it. You can sense it. You can feel it. And that's not what we try to do. What we try to do is preach the gospel and let the power of God and the anointing of God and the presence of God move upon a people like never before, you see? Praise God. Look, people, keep praying for me. Keep praying for Jelaine and I that God would give us wisdom and direction, you know, to know what to do in situations, know how to get things done, know how to pursue him in a way that we've never pursued him before. Pray for us. You know, the Bible says to pray for those that are in authority over you. I'm requesting your prayers. I'm asking for your prayers, you know, to pray for us. Because, you know, we need direction from the Holy Spirit that God the Father would give to him to give to us. So here we see this scripture says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Here we see Jesus in the verses before that, a few verses before that. He had gone into the temple, and they had, you know, the Jews that were there. And they would, you know, in the temple, there were certain places in the temple that any Jew could go up to the, if you want to say podium, that's what we know it, so that's how I'll say it, podium type thing, and they could read a scripture. They could quote scriptures and say things. And here we had all these Jewish people that were scholars that were there. Scholars, I mean, when I say scholars, they knew the scriptures of the Old Testament backwards and forwards. They knew it from, they could quote the scriptures to you from Genesis, you know, to the end of the Old Testament. The power that they had as far as knowing, because they knew it, they had to study it constantly. But yet they knew the scripture, but they didn't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That was right in front of them. And they had this guy, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. His father is Joseph on the earth, and his mother is Mary on the earth. And he goes, and he stands there, and he preaches the gospel as far as scriptures. And these scholars turn to one another, and they say, who is this guy? He's not one of us. He doesn't know the scriptures like us. They were astounded, you see, because he is the Word. And all the word that they quoted was about him, no matter what. He is the Word. And so here he stands and says, and Jesus answered them because they asked him, who are you? You know, that doesn't make sense here. You know all this, and you haven't studied under our tutelage. And said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. An astonishing statement, people. Because he said, I'm not preaching my doctrine or what I believe, but I'm preaching the doctrine of my Father and who has sent me. See, we are to be channels of preaching the gospel of what our Father has given to us. See, we're to speak forth the words of love to our fellow man, the words of whatever doctrine it is to our fellow man, preaching the gospel of Jesus or the Father unto the people, just as Jesus did that, which astounded the people. The scholars said they just could not imagine this guy was saying those things, which they only thought they knew it all. But you see, they didn't realize that it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you see, people, every time we go about and we ask somebody, come to church with me. Come to church. That's just the power of God. And you might say, well, yeah, they don't want to come. You just keep on asking. That's when, you know, you're somewhere and somebody says that and you say the scripture. A scripture that will help them. That's ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's the power of Almighty God. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Please. look at verse, starting with verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He became a servant like man, like us. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here we see Jesus took on the doctrine of his Father, and he obeyed him even till death. Is he feeling better in here, Miss Anna? Okay, thank you. Okay. She's a thermometer today. She's the one we go by. No, it's feeling a little better. But, but here we see Jesus died upon the cross, and he did it because the Father wanted him to. We have to obey the Father no matter what he wants us to do. We are his servants, just as Jesus became like a bond servant and became like man to die upon the cross so he can bring back fallen man back to God. Have you ever thought, this is weird, y'all, what we like this. It's kind of throwing me a little bit. Have you ever thought that if Jesus would have never come, where we would be today? Have you ever thought if he never came, we would still be living in the Old Testament, where we would have to all go to Jerusalem, go to the temple, and have a lamb or pigeon or whatever sacrifice we needed to make at that time and do that? I mean, you know, just to try to cover our sins, not that it was taken away, but to cover it so we can be blessed. But because of Jesus and what he did at Calvary's cross, that now we have the freedom to be in our own home, and we can call upon the name of our God, our Savior, to the Father through Jesus Christ, and be forgiven of our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ that was paid 2,000 years ago is still in effect today. Wow. That the price and the value of that blood 2,000 years ago that flowed down that cross, that flowed down the back and the body of our Lord and Savior is still so powerful today to take care of all those things. My God, what a God we serve. So here we see Jesus is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 13, talking about when Jesus was baptized in water, okay? Remember this, Jesus lived how many years? 33 and what? Half years. 33 and a half years upon the earth, okay? That's how long he lived for. At 30 years of age, that's when he was basically water baptized, okay? That's when ministry started for him, okay? That's when up to 0 to 30, except the scenario of you have when he was 12 years old in the synagogue and he stayed and he was, you know, teaching these people at about 12 years of age. Nothing else was done. He was just a regular, I mean, I hate to say that, regular type guy, but yet the Spirit of God was upon him to do a mighty mission for the Father. Okay? Us also, God has called us to do many things for the kingdom of God. And yet the calling and the timing has to come together. Jesus was called even before the foundations of the earth. Jesus was called before even that, and he came, was born of a virgin Mary. She had never been with a man ever before. Born of the Holy Spirit. She raises him and Joseph to he's 33 and a half years, but up to that time, 30. He had never done any basically ministry before, except a little here and there. But at 30 years of age, something happened. You see, we have to remember there's a timing with God. We can have the perfect message. We can have the perfect scenario. We can have everything lined up to the T. But if it's not in the perfect timing of God when he wants it, it will not succeed in the way that he wants it to succeed. See, sometimes we have sometimes things off timed. That means we got to get on God's timetable, not God get on our timetable. We got to get along with God. We got to spend some time with him. We got to pray and seek God and say, Lord, what do you want, Lord? How do you want it, Father? Show me. Reveal to me by the Holy Spirit. Show me what you want. See, God has called each and every one of you to a ministry. You might say, well, not, I'm not talking about the fivefold ministry. Maybe that might be so. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Maybe not that. But God has called each and every one of us to a ministry in his house to do something. We got to fulfill it. We got to find what it is. Say, Lord, show me by your Holy Spirit. God needs, you know, in the temple was built. He needed people to go and light the candles. The Levites. He needed them to go light the candles. He needed a man to be a doorkeeper, and we think a doorkeeper, and that's nothing. But to God, that's important. See? In the kingdom of God, everything's important to him. From the doorkeeper, to the one that lights the candles, the one that puts on the electricity, to the one that purchases. Everybody's important to God. And really, everybody's on the same level. But look at this. Get to the meat of this. It says, if we look at verse 13. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and come you to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it be so now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I'm going to look at Jesus and what happened. But I want to look at a little different aspect of these verses. It says, look at verse 13. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, this John right here is not so much the one John that wrote the book Revelations. Okay? The one that John wrote the book of Revelation, that's the disciple John. This John right here is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, remember who his parents were? You remember Elizabeth and Zechariah? You remember, you know, you read the scriptures and or you see a movie and how Elizabeth was like 6 months expecting John compared to Mary and Jesus. John the Baptist was a man that lived like in the mountains, the wilderness. And he preached the gospel. And his preaching was, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent means, you know, repentance of our sins. And baptize, you know, it's not, you know, when you baptize, it's just a formation or a what people see of what God has already done on the inside of your heart. The repentance of sin is the washing away of that. But here we see John the Baptist was a guy that just preached the gospel, people, called by God to preach the gospel. I mean, he would go wherever God would send him, John the Baptist, and would preach the gospel uncompromisingly by the power and the unction and the presence of Almighty God. And here we see, is Jesus here coming to whom? John the Baptist, who was his cousin, was 6 months older than Jesus, that's all, but coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. And we know this. Did Jesus need to be baptized? No. Not because of sin or anything. Not to show people that, look, I have repented of all of my sins. He was sinless. He was sinless. He had no sin nature in him because he got nothing from Joseph and he got nothing from Mary. So that seed was not brought down unto him at all. At all. Still, Jesus had a choice if he wanted to. Just as Satan came to him, you know, he wanted him to bow down to him and throw himself down and all this stuff using the scriptures. But here we see Jesus comes. Now you have to understand this. Here, John the Baptist went all over the place. Repent and be baptized. I mean, he'd get in people's faces. Repent and be baptized. He was that strong. That kind of persona that he gave out, he would, because he knew their souls were in the balance. And he would tell them, now that you're saved, you need to be baptized. And here he was in the River Jordan, baptizing people. The ones that he just converted, baptizing these people. And you know, and here he is, you know, they come to him and he's just baptizing them. They come in one after the other, baptizing them. And all of a sudden, he comes up with this one, and he looks, and it's the last one, and he sees a man coming. And he knew from the inside, that's the Son of Man. And Jesus comes to him, and he says, I want you to baptize me. And John says, I can't. You need to baptize me. John felt unworthy. Have you ever felt unworthy? Probably every one of us has felt unworthy. Excuse me. Has felt unworthy in what God had called him to do. What God calls worthy, man should never call unworthy. Ooh. God called John the Baptist worthy to baptize his son Jesus Christ. And when he got to him, he said, no, I can't do it. How many times when God calls us, the first thing we might say is, I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it because we don't feel worthy. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith in Christ and what Christ did at Calvary's cross. Wow. And it's that cross that makes us worthy to be called by God and to do the things that God has called us to do.
Amen.
Let me tell you, every one of us in here, we're sinners.
Yeah.
We're sinners.
Come on.
Saved by grace. God has done marvelous works in every one of you and in my life also. The power of Almighty God. And I can imagine Jesus, look, John, this is just me. John the Baptist in his eyes got probably face to face and said, you will baptize me. And you'll burn it. And all of a sudden it says that John took Jesus and he baptized Jesus. And when he came up, it says that John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. It didn't come on the water. It didn't come on John the Baptist. It didn't come on all the other people. Who did it come on? It came on Jesus Christ. Because God was his Father. And what did the Father say? This is what? My Son. In whom I am what? Well pleased. God used John the Baptist to kickstart, if you want to say it that way, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think we're not worthy. But let me tell you, what God calls worthy, we don't call unworthy. What God calls worthy is anyone that will put their faith and trust in Christ and will look to Christ as their Savior and will look to Christ as their Savior to cleanse them from all their sins. And God makes them worthy. And I know that think you're talking, I know something else you're thinking about. Well, Pastor, yes, I received Christ as my Savior, but I'm still struggling with some things. That makes me unworthy. No, 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 no. Do you think John the Baptist struggled with some stuff? Oh, I can guarantee. He's a human being, definitely. I don't know what it was, whatever it is. That's when we go to God and we ask him to forgive us and we put our faith and trust in him again. And we say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit help me. You see, we can't live a life pleasing to the Lord without the Holy Spirit helping us. Just as we put our faith in Christ, okay, in salvation, we put our faith in Christ to sanctify us. See, the world has said, well, you know, after you say it, well, you know, the church says, now, I will clean you up. We'll tell you where to go, where you can't go, what you have to do, what you can't do. What you can't do. That's not what's supposed to happen. And that's why we're in a mess. How old is somebody said you were Ray Charles to me. I said, oh, all right, I like that. Ray Charles. Celebrity at church today. Yeah. No, he had surgery on his eyes. Well, both of them just a few weeks apart. But he had surgery Friday, so he's doing very well today. It's good. Good. I appreciate that room. And his heart for the Lord. I do. Thank you. Thank you for your support. And thank you for all your prayers. And thank you for your servanthood towards the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate you. Every one of you, I appreciate it. Say, I appreciate it. Miss Hannah's the thermometer today. I'm doing okay. Gotta keep. But here we see John the Baptist used by God. Used by God. The only thing is, you remember what happens to John the Baptist because he stood up for Christ? Now, before I get into that, though, it says in scriptures a little bit before that, it says that John the Baptist from afar had saw Jesus, not at this time, but another time, when he had two disciples. See, John the Baptist had disciples, okay? And he was going around preaching the gospel. Jesus hadn't started his ministry yet, till John the Baptist baptized him. Then he started his ministry, and there was two, Andrew and John, that were with John the Baptist that came over to Jesus. And John the Baptist, from afar off, said, that's the Son of God. That's the Son of God. That's the Son of God. Declare it. But because John the Baptist stood up for the things of God, we don't know exactly what's going to happen in our hearts and lives and what's going to go on. You know, we think that when we give our lives to the Lord, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to go great. I mean, you know, we won't have any trouble here or there. Let me tell you, once you cross over that line to serve the Lord, there's no slewfoots out there trying to destroy you because he hates you and he hates the God in you. Amen. But that's when we put our faith in Christ and we let Christ fight our battles for us and the power of the Holy Spirit moving upon us and helping us to overcome those things. But it says that John the Baptist, you ever read when he was beheaded? Can you imagine dying like that? Because of a hatred, because he said something that was not right in the king's heart and who he had married, and said it was wrong, and they wanted revenge on him. And the daughter came out and danced away in front of the king, and he said, "You can have anything you want to have my kingdom." And she ran back to her mother and she said, "What should I ask for?" And the mother, hating John the Baptist, said, "Go and ask for John the Baptist's head." And when he got to the, when she got to the king, she told the king what she wanted. And the king, having all his people there in front of him, he can't look bad. There's a lot of reputation you gotta uphold there. Said, "Okay." And they went to the prison guards, they went after John the Baptist, and they beheaded him. And they took his head and brought it on a platter, and brought it to her. And said, "Here you go." Now you might say, "Well, you know, why did God let that happen?" People, we don't understand everything about God. But God has more wisdom and understanding than what we have. This is it. We serve God with everything within us. Look, I want us to be a mighty army of believers that will trust God no matter what. That will serve Him no matter what. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our hearts and lives, no matter if everything's falling apart, we still trust in Him no matter what. No matter what's happened, but I tell you, the power of Almighty God. Let me tell you, a God that can take somebody that wants to kill themselves and give them life, that's a God we serve. Huh? You might think, well, there's not a lot of people in church that want to kill themselves. Let me tell you, it's worse than what you think. But God is the giver of life. God can come in and give life to His people. God can take a people that have no money, and if they trust in Him and give, like He says, He can bless them beyond measure. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that can heal people's bodies. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that can give wisdom and understanding and direction above anything else as we serve Him. Praise and glory unto our God this day. As we worship Him, as we honor Him, and we give Him what is rightfully His, the power of Almighty God can come into any church and do a mighty work within the people and raise up a mighty army of believers like Gideon had and defeat the enemy on every cause because of what God can do. See, remember this. God is God, and there's no one greater than Him. So you know what? You go to Him because He's the greatest thing. And you let Him solve those situations and those problems. You let Him solve those situations and problems in your family. You let Him solve those situations and those problems in your personal life. And let God be God. Let the Spirit of God move within your heart. You know, you read in the Old Testament when they dedicated the temple to God, it says the power of God was so strong in that temple that it shook the walls. Not because there was an earthquake going on, because of the power of Almighty God. Look, we need an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon each and every one of our lives. We need the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon our church. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon our homes. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon businesses. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon this town, upon areas beyond this place. That's the only thing that will save humanity. God Himself. Are we willing to pay the price?
Come on.
To have the power. You know, not just say, oh, I got the power. No. To have the presence of God. You see, one day people are going to walk in this place crying because of the conviction of the power of Almighty God. And it's not just me, because of you praying and seeking God. One day, people will be driving across this main street and they will become convicted because of the sin in their lives as they pass in front of the church. The power of Almighty God. You might say, well, is it? It's because we pray it. And God says he'll come. We need a change. We need the Spirit of God. We need the anointing of God. Just as Jesus went down in that water and came up, and the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I want the Father to say, this is my church in whom I am well pleased with. And we are the church here. We are the church. Don't you want him to say that to us? Look, those people in Gaidon, in that area, look what they did. Look what they did. They shook me. They got a hold of the bottom of my garment. They got a hold of me, and they would not let me go. They got a hold of the horns of the altar of Almighty God, and they would not let me go till I did what they wanted, which I already wanted. See, it always has to line up with Jesus, with God the Father. The power of Almighty God. Letting God be God like never before. Letting God be God. Look, for the most part, I'll be honest with you. No. The church as a whole is tired and dead. Now, I'm just talking about the church body. They have a lot of noise, but it's just noise. We need Jesus to step in. We need him to step in and take that noise and make it a rumbling of the power of Almighty God. You might say, can that happen here? It can happen. God said, we have a hunger and thirst, I will come to you. We have a hunger and thirst for me, I will come to you. Jesus preached the doctrine of his Father. Let us preach the doctrine of our Father.
Come on.
In what he can do by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Almighty God. Amen. You may stand, please. God, praise God. And if you don't mind, just please close your eyes and bow your head for just a minute. Thank you. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and you would like to do so today, would you please raise your hand? Looks like everybody here is A-okay with the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's pray this prayer because we may have people watching this morning. Okay. If you would repeat after and say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins.
I accept you
into my heart
and
into my life.
I believe
that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord and as my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.